will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO. I'm Rob Artigo, your guest host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast, where I get a chance to talk to Ray Zinn, as noted, the longest-serving CEO in Silicon Valley, and that's for good reason. Hi, Ray.
Hey, good to be with you today.
We're going to focus this podcast on stress and distractions as it relates to the essential business leader. We had a series on the essential leadership. It was enormously successful, so we're going to add this in addition to those essential leadership podcast, if you will. A lost chapter. So this is on stress and distractions. We know that stress and distraction is inevitable in business and in life, right, Ray?
Exactly. You know, that's one of the things in life that we have to deal with is stress and distraction.
What are the kinds of things, events, or the attention grabbers, like fishing lure, like what are those things that can distract a leader from the tasks at hand?
Well, if they're not happy in their job, if they don't like what they're doing, if they tend to have a disorder, that symptom where they have a hard time focusing, that's an issue that increases stress. Because if you get distracted, you're going to be delayed in whatever thing you're doing. And that just puts more stress on you, especially if the boss is yelling and screaming at you for why aren't you getting this task completed? You're easily distracted either by something next to you or around you, or if you're the leader yourself and you become easily distracted, your employees are going to notice that. They're going to see that you're easily taken off task. You become less focused. It's a disorder. I mean, it's something that you have to fix.
It's the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, that you were talking about. And I imagine that if the leader of the company is taken off task by distractions, that person's behavior and misdirection in the process could end up taking the teams off of their game without really, you know, taking them off their focus without even knowing that they're doing, all they're doing is following the leader. And if the leader's going, oh, look, like a dog, you're walking down the pathway with your dog and your dog goes squirrel and runs off into the bushes, you know, this can happen because the dog, you're supposed to be going that way. You know, and the dog runs off into the bushes because it sees a squirrel and it, like, okay, just that fast, you could lose it. And that's that ADHD you're talking about.
Right. Again, you know, there are people who can focus and there are people who can't focus. You know, when it comes to differentiating or trying to understand why you become distracted, you'll find that generally the reason you're distracted is because you don't like what you're doing. I know that having run a company for 37 years as a CEO, I can tell you that there are a lot of jobs, a lot of tasks that I had to perform that I didn't like. In fact, 80% of my responsibility as the CEO of the company were doing things that I didn't like. Okay. And so I had to focus on loving the things I hated. And that was key to really becoming, a long-term loving CEO. Is learning to love the things I hate, because then I didn't look at those 80% of what I did as being things I didn't want to do because they were distractions. Can you imagine that if you don't like 80% of your job, how distracting that is? And you're not going to do a very good job 80% of the time. So, you know, face it, part of being an essential leader is loving the things you don't like doing. And so that takes some art. And so what I did in to learn to love the things that I dislike doing is called discipline. Discipline is doing what you don't like doing and doing it well. And so I would take a task that I didn't like to do and I would work on it until I loved it. You know, whether you're a singer or an artist or, or a machinist or whatever your hobby is, you didn't love to do it until you start doing it well. I mean, I'm not a good golfer, and so you know, if I want to like golfing, I've got to become better at it. I got to find out how to become a better golfer, or singer or writer or whatever it is I'm going to do. I have to enhance that trait. So, you know, let those weak things become your strength by learning to love what you don't like doing, because that's discipline. All discipline is doing what you don't like doing. If you talk about all the successful athletes, you know, their time they spend practicing, not doing the game itself, but their practice time is like 10 times the amount of time that they spend actually on the court or on the field, because they're just doing exercises. They're getting their body in shape. They're doing things that are stressful, like exercising or other, is part of your job. The essential leader has to be able to deal with those tasks that he doesn't like doing. And so that's the key. I mean, I will tell you, even to this day, at my advanced age, if there's something that I can tell what I don't like doing, if I find something I don't want to do, I'm going to go get it done now and finish it. As an example, I had a pool pump go out and it was driving me nuts trying to figure out what was wrong with it and how to fix it. And then I'm not exactly the guy that loves to do, you know, repairs, and it's dirty. And I mean, it's not something I enjoy doing. And so it began to bother me. And this is just recent. It began to bother me that I didn't want to fix this pool pump. And yet my pool has been winterized and says shut down, so I don't need the pool pump. But the fact that I thought in my head, I don't want to do this, I decided I'm going to go do it. And so, you know, even though it's the middle of winter and I'm not using the pool and I don't have to have it done today as you would, I went ahead and I repaired the darn thing. I made a few mistakes and it took me some time and I was thinking some pretty ugly things about it. But anyway, I went ahead and I got it done. And so this again is doing what you don't like doing and doing it well. This is a key to being an essential leader, is learning to love those 80% of those things that you don't like doing. That's just plain and simple discipline.
Yeah, it comes down to your slogan, which is also the title of your book, Tough Things First. It's right, do the exactly. Tough things first. And I think that's how, from the many stories that I've heard from you, the key to developing that discipline is recognizing, okay, so if I do those things that I don't want to do right up front, I can spend the rest of the day doing the things that I want to do. And you can get those things out of the way. And it makes you focus on, like you said, getting that pump done. There's a sense of satisfaction that goes along with that too.
Well, you know, my son told me, I don't know why you're wanting to repair that pump. You got enough money. You can go out and buy 1,000 pumps, you know? So why are you screwing around repairing that pump? And I said, David, it's because I don't like doing it. And I don't like not wanting to learn how to like to do the things that I want to do. So it's that weakness that I want to make my strength. Sure, I can afford 1,000 pumps, but I didn't want to mess with it. I didn't want to just do that. I should say I didn't want to pass that opportunity up. So I grabbed it, put it on the bench, and took it apart. It was dirty and it was messy and it took time. But again, I'm trying to get the point across, is that I'm trying to tell everybody or have them understand that it doesn't take a big project to take you off your game. You know, it can be a small thing like this pump. And so honestly, I'm telling you, my audience, and I'm telling you, Rob, you know, it wasn't that I couldn't afford a different pump. I could have bought a brand new one. It's just that it bothered me, the fact that I didn't want to fix the darn thing. And so I said, okay, then I'm going to go up since I don't want to do it. I've got to walk the talk. Okay. And so part of walking the talk was I grabbed the doggone thing, put it on the bench, took it apart and fixed it. And then I give myself a high salute. I said, right on there, Raymond, you know, I did it, you know? So again, learning to love the things you hate is key. I don't care how simple the task is, whether it's out there mowing the lawn, whether it's out there picking the apples or whatever it is you're going to do, you know, even though you can afford to have 10,000 people do it, you know, that's not the key. The key is think of the things you don't want to do in your life and go do them, whether it's cooking your own meal, whether it's doing your own dishes, whether it's mopping your own floor, cleaning your own bathrooms, polishing your own shoes. I don't give a darn. Washing your own car, you know, repair the whatever's broken in your house. It's not that you how much money you have. It's the fact that you learn to love the things you don't like doing. That's the key. And I will tell you that anything I don't like doing, I'm going to jump on it and get it done. Do the tough things first, I always say.
That's right. And you know, a big part of this is we've been talking a lot about distraction, but also here, stress. And you said stress has a lot to do with expectations, but stress itself, like the things that cause stress include primary reason is expectations. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So again, back to the water pump, my expectation was to get that pump fixed. Okay. And it was causing stress because I didn't know how to repair the pump. And so, you know, rather than just writing a check and buying a new one, that would have relieved the stress for sure, because I would just signed it off and a new pump would have come and I'd put it in or have it put in and away we went. But that increased stress in a different area, because I'm avoiding, as you would, doing the tough things first or doing what I don't like doing. And that's stress. So I know it sounds counterintuitive, but you can cause stress by trying to avoid stress. If that makes sense? So the expectation is, in my mind, my expectation is that I'm not going to let any task, you know, get me down. Okay. I'm going to pursue it until I solve it, whether it be writing musings, whether it be writing books, whether it be, there's a lot of things I do that, you know, I really don't like doing, but I learned to love them by getting involved and just finishing them. And that relieves stress. So if you want to release stress, then learn to do the tough things first. Get them out of the way. That's how you do it.
And the stress, whether it's the expectations of, you know, that you want to get something fixed and you kind of stew about it for a while. If it doesn't get done and there's no action taken on it, that stress, then you've got the next thing that comes along. Then mm-hmm. You got the next thing that comes along. And then that's where you say the stress, mm-hmm. and more stress. What is the net effect on the leader already burdened by responsibilities of running a business or a corporation or whatever?
It's procrastination. In other words, if you're putting off doing something because you don't want to do it, okay, that's still going to be on your mind. You're still going to have that in the back of your head. I got to get to that someday. Like this water pump thing I keep referring to. You know, I didn't need it for 4 or 5 more months, but I didn't want that on my mind. I didn't want to have that stress that bugging me about that thing. So I just went ahead and did it, got it out of the way. So again, you know, the whole thing about doing the tough things first is to do the things you don't like doing first, get them out of the way, and then begin, as they say, the rest is easy. So that's the key here. Begin, the rest is easy. And so that's the key to being a essential leader, is being able to really focus on and getting those dirty, tough tasks out of your way first.
Now, we talked about in a recent podcast about the flight or fight syndrome with stress that can take over. And if it does take over, what can we expect for our stress level?
Well, if you have a lot of fight or flight activities, you're doing something wrong. You have to examine, why am I in this fight or flight syndrome? Whether it's making payroll, whether it's getting this project out in a timely way, that all adds to the stress. Is a this fight or flight syndrome is stress, and so you want to minimize the number of fight and flight stress activities that you have. And again, I go back to repeating myself, doing the tough things first, get them out of the way. You know, whether it be a fight or flight problem, get them out, finish them. You know, don't let them carry on. And hopefully you're not going to end up in a long battle where your fight, it goes on for months or years.
I suppose too much stress and too many distractions can lead to irrational decisions. I think I heard you say that. I saw you write it, as a matter of fact.
You know, that's what happens. If you're just trying to knock it out, just to get it out of the way, get it off your plate, you might make an irrational decision because you don't want to deal with it. And of course, that's not what I'm referring to about loving the things you hate, because you can't love something you're making an irrational decision about. So, you know, again, it's doing a good job, as I said earlier about discipline, is doing what you don't like doing and doing it well. Doing it well. That's not irrational. That's doing it right the first time. Measure twice, cut once.
Let's see here. It says, life is too short to get worked up over things you can't control. And this is what you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
The saying, don't worry about things you can't control and only be concerned about the rest.
Right. Yeah. You know, so again, if you're worrying about things you can't fix, then it's going to be that fight or flight. You're going to be stressed about it. So, you know, if it's something you can't control, there's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, letting it build up a stress is really, you know, going to cause you to do things that you're going to regret doing. Now if there is things you can change, then just be concerned about them, but not change. I mean, sorry, things you can't change, you can be concerned about them, but not stress over them. So as I said earlier, you know, don't worry about things you can't change. Just be concerned about the things that you can't. Concern is different than worry. Okay. Yeah. There's a difference between that, because worry means it's all consuming. It bogs you down. Whereas just being concerned is to recognize the issue so that in a timely way, you can resolve it.
Well, exercise is a stress reducer as well. And I know that you start every day that way. It's part mm-hmm. of doing the tough things first for you. Are there other ways that we can just mitigate stress in a general way?
Sure. Take 10, you know, maybe go for a walk, or maybe go home early. Because if you're under stress, you're not going to be rational about the way you fix or solve a problem. So rather than just keeping at it and do it in an improper way, take five, you know, just go for a walk or take a break, change what you're doing. Set it aside for a bit, and you'll be surprised if you set it aside for a while and then come back to it, whether you're writing a book, whether you're doing podcasts like we're doing today, or whether you're a football player, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, if you're getting bogged down, if you're in a rut, okay, then the best thing to do is to back off, let it simmer as you would, and then come back to it when your mind is more clear.
Let's wrap up with this one last thought, and that is, what are some of the things we should not do to address stress that might exacerbate the problem, create worsening stress?
Well, I mean, I talked about them earlier. Number one is procrastinate. Don't put off tomorrow what you should do today. So procrastination, it just increases stress, because if it's in the back of your mind, because you procrastinated it, you know, that causes stress, because now you got to remember it in order to get back on it. So, you know, avoid procrastination. Obviously if you are bogged down here in a rut, is to set it aside, not let it, get you circular reasoning going on. So you're, You're going to exacerbate the problem. And then, you know, just be familiar with stress, understanding stress. And so, as I said, don't worry about stuff you can't change, only be concerned. And so don't focus on things you can't fix. And so, you know, to be, you know, an essential leader, you have to be, understand yourself. You got to recognize your limitations, what your strengths, what your weaknesses are, and be willing to do whatever it takes. No excuses.
As always, you can reach out to Raise In with your questions at toughthingsfirst.com. Continue your education and the conversation with all the podcasts, blogs, and links with information to Raise Books, Tough Things First, and the Zen of Zen series 1, 2, and 3. Great conversation, Ray.
Thanks, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.